Okay. Good morning. Let's turn to Mark chapter 10. Yeah, I'm going to break up Mark 10 into 2 days, okay? Because there's actually a little bit too much material. And so we'll go 1 through 31, and then tomorrow we'll do the rest. Okay? And when we start, you'll see why. Mark 10. And rising up, he went from there to the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan, and crowds gathered around him again, and according to his custom, he once more began to teach them. And some Pharisees came up to him, testing him, and began to question him whether it was lawful for a man to divorce a wife. And he answered and said to them, "What did Moses command you?" And they said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother, and the two shall become one flesh. Consequently, they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate." And in the house, the disciples began questioning him about this again. And he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another man, she is committing adultery." And they were bringing children to him, and so they might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child should not enter it at all." And he took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands upon them. And as he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and began asking him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up." And looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But at these words, his face fell, and he went away grieved, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus, looking around, said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they were even more astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" And looking upon them, Jesus said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to them, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but as he shall receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Amen. This is Mark 10 is known as the chapter of the four questions. Interesting enough, Luke takes 10 chapters to do these four questions. Mark does it in one chapter. And so this is why I'm going to break it up. So they're on their way to Jerusalem, and so the Pharisees have gathered around to try to trap him in this thing. And so the issue of divorce is one of the most constant issues that are at war. So I'm gonna give you a little background before this, but it all hinges on one little phrase in the book of Deuteronomy. So in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1, this is what the word says. "When a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens if she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some indecency in her, that he writes her a certificate of divorce, puts in her hand, and sends her away from his house." So the argument is this one word, some indecency. Okay, that's two words. Indecency. Or other translations, improper. And so there are two main schools of thought on this topic for the Jews during this time. One was a rabbi named Shammai. Shammai was a student of Hillel the Great. But Shammai, he held the position that indecency referred only to adultery. In other words, so marital faith, unfaithfulness was the only reason for the certificate of divorce. That was the Shammai argument. By the way, the Pharisees of Jesus' time, they're primarily followers of Shammai. Shammai was really hard. He was very rigid. He's the one that the whole idea of separation and all these things. It's kind of like the modern, meaning the times of Jesus, that modern there, they are primarily disciples of Shammai. When Jesus is teaching, he's primarily using the words of Hillel. He was Hillel the Great. He was incredible to the poor. He was a man of the people. That's why they call him Hillel the Great. But on this thought, on divorce, Hillel actually, he believed that indecent meant anything that displeased the husband. So husband came home from work one day. The wife made some soup, and he didn't like it. Bam! Here's a certificate of divorce, right? Husband had a sweater. Wife doesn't know how to clean the clothes, wash the laundry, and shrinks the sweater. Bam! Right? Certificate of divorce. I mean, that's how incredibly random this was. So Hillel, right? Anything that displeases the husband is divorce. Shammai, no, only adultery. Only adultery is the reason for divorce. And in when you go through the Gospels, Jesus primarily agrees with Hillel on almost every single point. In fact, some of the words that he even shares are actually direct quotes from Hillel. But on this one phrase, he sides with Shammai. And so this obviously pleases the Pharisees, because the Pharisees are followers of Shammai and they regard this. And so they like this. And so then Jesus, because he's a rabbi, what is he going to do? He's going to ask them a question. And so he asks the simple question, verse 3, right? It goes, and he answered and said to them, "What does Moses command you?" So they quote Deuteronomy 24, and he says to them, and this is the explanation, and notice, they got to look very closely at this. Jesus doesn't attack the opinion or position on divorce. What Jesus does, he expands the definition of marriage. And so he's gonna lay it out for people right here. Okay, so he doesn't attack their position on divorce, but he expands their definition of marriage. He says, in the beginning, right? From the beginning, God made them male and female. He made them in their language, Ish and Isha. This is male and female, two separate entities that belong together, and they were made to be one. The key concept that he's trying to get the people to understand, the Pharisees to understand, the people of God at this time, and people today to also understand this simple idea, right? That in Jesus' economy, in God's economy, when he created man and woman, Ish and Isha, notice it's so similar, two separate beings that fit together, and when they come together in covenant, they create one flesh. And so he uses three different expressions to express this idea of oneness. He says they become one flesh, they're joined together, and no longer two, but one flesh. And this is something that God has joined. So look at the logical reasoning that Jesus is following. True marriage is the result of a God-created oneness that is impossible for a man to separate or to disconnect. The question being, and this is a question that he's actually asking the disciples, the Pharisees, how can a piece of paper, think about this, how can a certificate of divorce dissolve a bond that God has established? Doesn't that make sense? If in the beginning God created, right, now let me make a commentary, Ish and Isha, not Ish and Ish, not Isha and Isha, okay? Right? This is like the homosexuality, transgender, all this stuff. Okay. Let's just, and we went through this a while back. Let's just call it for what it is. That's not a marriage. That's a same-sex union. All right? If two homosexual people want to get married, that's fine. You do what you want, right? You're outside of this. Right? But let's not call it marriage. Let's just call it what it is. It's a same-sex union. They have made a contract with the state. Covenant with God is between an ish and an isha. It's a man and a woman, and they come together and they create one flesh, right? And what God has joined together, man cannot separate. All right, this is the key. Man cannot separate. How does a piece of paper dissolve a bond that God has established? The Pharisees obviously are pleased with this answer. And so he leaves them, but the disciples are troubled by this answer. So the disciples go to Jesus privately, and they turn, and verse 10, and in the house, disciples began questioning about this again. It says, hey, you want to, Lord, I know you're talking to the Pharisees. You want to clarify this for us, right? Because this is a really hard statement, right? This is like a little too much. Can you clear? And then what does Jesus do? He goes, oh, yeah? I'm going to double down on this. Look what he says. He says to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And if she herself divorces her husband and marries another man, she is committing adultery. This is what we call as a doctrine perpetual adultery in the church. And so if you're divorced, or if you're married, you get divorced, you remarry, that's called perpetual adultery. All right, I just laid out here, okay? Don't kill the messenger, right? This is just the scriptures. You need to wrestle with the scriptures, you know, on this idea. And so, but his response is logical. Okay, look at the way he responds to the disciples. It's a logical conclusion to his original answer. In other words, if true marriage is a God-created bond that man cannot break, then even if someone who commits a divorce and remarries has truly never divorced, so obviously is committing adultery. You get Jesus' logic. He's doubling down. He says, if this truly is a union and that man cannot break it, even if you offer that certificate of divorce, in God's eyes, you are never divorced. And in fact, that divorce, you, every time, right, you have an act of sex, you're committing adultery. This is a logical conclusion to the idea of one flesh. What God has joined together, let man not separate. Maybe another way is a man cannot separate this. It's a simple thing. God has joined them together. There's nothing you can do about it. And so if a man and woman come together acknowledging that the Lord has bonded them together, then they must take seriously what Jesus said about this undissolvable bond God created. Okay? Now, let me take one step back, all right? Just so I know this is really harsh, all right? The scriptures. I want you to know at Solomon's Porch, okay, at SP, according to what the Lord is saying here, because in another passage, Jesus makes a provision for divorce primarily on the purpose of unfaithfulness. So now he's following Shammai. And so in our church, right, in here, in the way that we operate as a body, if your spouse commits adultery, you may offer a certificate of divorce. And we're just following Jesus' own words, okay? And so that's how we're going to operate as a church, and we recognize that is a part of the Christian life that we follow. Does that make sense? Okay? And so it's only because Jesus himself says it, and so we ultimately have to follow that. But in his teaching to the Pharisees, he makes it clear that he's broadening the definition of marriage. But then look what happens here. The next scene, and I want you to know how beautiful this scene is, because you'll recognize. Next thing you know, they were bringing children to him. So these are all the people around. They're bringing all kinds of kids that he might touch them. And then the disciples rebuked them. And so in other words, so listen carefully. And they were bringing children to him so that he might touch them. So Jesus probably was asking the children to come. So he wanted to bless them and put a barakah, a blessing over them. So they're bringing all these children, and the disciples say, no, you know, get rid of these kids. And look what Jesus says, permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it at all. And he took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands upon them. Think about this. Why, and this also happened in Luke as well, why does Jesus ask the children to come to him right after he talks about divorce? This is God's heart. You know why? I mean, it's really a simple explanation. It's because the primary casualties of divorce are children. It's not, I mean, the parents, yeah, they go through all kinds of stuff, but the primary recipients of pain, the casualties of divorce are the kids. They get stuck in the middle, and sometimes just incredible damage that takes place. And so, you know, thus another call for all of us, right, as husbands and wives, to be faithful, right, to be faithful to the Lord. You know, don't let that fling, you know, or that attraction, don't let it carry you away, right, from something that is so destructive, right, in our lives, right? Pornography and all these things. Don't let that get in the way, right? Just put it aside. And so when we truly understand this idea of marriage, okay, I think we're going to stop there. And we'll finish the next ones tomorrow. And so I didn't realize I was going to speak so long on this part. All right, so let's close our eyes. You know, the key to a healthy church are healthy families. Healthy families are a result of healthy marriages. And so it's important. Now, I want to say this to us as a church, and I know people listening online. This is also not the unpardonable sin, right? This is not the unforgivable sin. And so maybe with ignorance and you didn't know, and maybe you divorced, and maybe things happen, it's not unforgivable. You can be cleansed. You can acknowledge your failures before God. You can go before him and repent. And God can clean you. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I know this is a heavy passage, but the reality is we actually have to choose, are we going to live biblically? You know, are we just going to live on our own? Notice the big thing that says what God has joined together. If you're dating a non-Christian, God has not joined you together. Let's be honest about this. Right? Let's live biblically. That's the idea. Let's live biblically. Right? I mean, couples living together before marriage, you know, couples going on holidays together in the same room before marriage, that's the appearance of evil. We either choose to live biblically or we don't. Right? And so these are like tough, serious questions to ask ourselves when we think about our discipleship before the Lord. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let the Holy Spirit convict your heart. Is it really worth it? Right? What kind of fears? I know the fears. Oh, if it's not this person, I'm never going to be loved. That's a lie from the pit of hell. God created you, also created a partner that corresponds to you. If you're an Ish, he's created your Isha. If you're an Isha, he's created your Ish. That's God's plan. And so let's surrender our relationships. Married couples, pray for your marriages. Right? You know, you could think, oh, that's not going to happen to me. But the mercy of God, it could happen to anybody. Right? But the mercy of God. And so let's pray. Pray for yourself. Pray for marriages and families in this house, that we would understand the biblical definition of marriage, one flesh.
Kingdom of God.
on a side note, if you're wondering, in Jesus' economy, why is adultery, why is that acceptable for divorce? And you have to think in this way, the human act that is a sign of one flesh is actually intercourse. That's what the Bible tells us. Paul makes it very clear. And so, obviously, if your spouse has intercourse with somebody else, that seems to violate that one flesh idea. If the human act has spiritual repercussions, it would seem that someone that does that outside the marriage bonds has violated one flesh. I mean, that's the idea. That's what the idea that Shammai and the Jews thought about. So, just clarification. Well, let's close our eyes and let's pray. Let's pray for marriages. Let's pray for husbands and wives throughout our church. Let's pray for one flesh to happen. This divine covenant of God bringing two people together, two becoming one. It's such a beautiful, beautiful, totally supernatural, totally spiritual thing. And so let's just pray for marriages in this house. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Singapore, Korea, Japan. Let's lift up these countries and let's lift up our communities there. Pray for Pastor Nate, Pastor Jungmin. Let's pray for Pastor Sam. I ask the Lord to just touch our leaders there. And the Holy Spirit really move upon them in a powerful way. Let's lift up. Let's lift up our staff. Let's ask God's hand to be upon our servants. Pray for just an intimacy with God. Pray that they would minister out of that intimacy and that Lord would really use them. Pray for just the empowering of God for them to be able to do their job and using their gifts and to be pleasing to the Lord. It would have a positive effect. Let's lift up our staff. Let's pray for Hazel and Addie. Let's ask God to continue to bless and touch Hazel's body, that the cancer will be removed and rejected. Let's also pray for Addie for her kidney. Let's pray to come back to full function. And also pray for her ankle that she twisted. Let's lift up. Let's go to our member focus. Let's pray for Amy Yang. This is Pastor Chris's wife. Pray for protection and salvation for her family. Pray for full recovery from her leg surgery and to be a good shepherd for house church and Bible study. Let's lift up Amy. Let's pray for Fabi. Let's pray for Kiki's adoption process to be done before the summer, right? Speedy process and no halting. It's been a long drama. And so let's just pray for God's provision in this. Let's pray for Virginia. Pray for her two sisters, brother-in-law, and niece's salvation. Pray for a future spouse and for good health for her and her family, and to have joy of the Lord in everything that she does and wisdom at work. Let's lift up Virginia. Amen. Are there any prayer requests?